from the perspective of the United States, there's a sort of post 9/11 mentality that other countries in the world that we're going into and invading, whether it's Afghanistan or Iraq or what have you, are going to change their governments to a sort of U.S.-style democracy. What is the Afghan perspective on that concept? Is that something that's welcome or something that is not?
I want to tell something about the recently situation of Afghanistan, that unfortunately there is no fundamental change in our country, because after the domination of Taliban, after 11 September 2001, unfortunately US and US allies, they replaced instead of Taliban Northern Alliance, the jihadist people, that those people that they did their test before the domination of Taliban to our people from 1992 to 1996 when they were in power, and they killed about 65,000 people in Kabul city, and our people now, they do not have trust on them, and because now and they are those people that they have mask of democracy, but they do not believe in democracy. And this is the reason that our people now, they have really suspicious on this kind of democracy and war on terror in Afghanistan from US and US allies. Those countries that they want to bring democracy for our country. And the main message of our people is this, that I should leave the message on behalf of the suffering people of Afghanistan, that in this situation they really become tired from the war, and they hate from the warlords and also gangs in Afghanistan, and they need to help, they need to democracy and security in Afghanistan. But with these tested enemies in Afghanistan, that they are like brothers of Taliban, they physically change, but they mentally they are same, they never can bring democracy and the peace and security in our country. U.S. should change this policy. If U.S. and U.S. allies, they do not change this policy, there will never come fundamental change in our country.
In the run-up to the United States going and attacking Afghanistan, there were many politicians here, including women politicians and also some celebrities, who talked about the women of Afghanistan and how repressed they were, and of course that was true. But now we don't hear from those people anymore in our press, and it seems as though there's an assumption, whether you're listening to Condoleezza Rice or whoever, that everything is fine now for women in Afghanistan. Everything's great. Yeah. How true is that? Have things really changed for women in Afghanistan?
Yeah. If you want me to talk only about the situation of women in Afghanistan, I think in one hand it's a very important issue, because you know, when half of the population of a country, they have role in the country, they will bring real changes in the country, and the country will improve. But unfortunately, in the situation of women of Afghanistan also, there is no fundamental change. For example, it's true in Kabul. Now we have, for example, 68 representatives, means members of the parliament are women, 68 members. And also we have some ministers in the cabinet of Afghanistan. We have one governor in one province, which means Bamiyan, there we have. But I want to tell that it's not enough. And also, for example, the women in Kabul, they can go outside without burqa because there is some security for them. And also they can have jobs and they can go to schools and like this. But we should see the situation of women in the faraway provinces, that which kind of situation these women they have. In one hand, it's true that our country is male domination country, but in another hand, unfortunately, those people they are in power, especially local warlords, that they have links with their warlords, with their bosses, that now they have good positions, high positions in Afghanistan, in the government of Afghanistan, unfortunately. And there are those people that they do not believe in women rights also. and they do not take care to the women roles in Afghanistan. They do not want to give them chance to have jobs and to go outside. Even they do not dare to go outside without work in some provinces, because they know about the faces of these local warlords that they do not trust on them. And also, for example, I want to tell you about the one woman, poet and light-minded woman, which name was Nadia Anjuman, and she has been killed in Herat by her husband. But nobody asked that why, and her husband, of course, he knows that there is no real law that justice that should ask him and put him in justice, that in jail, that why he did this. And also, maybe you hear through media about a woman, her name was Amana from Badakhshan, and these local warlords killed her by throwing a stone. And also another girl, which name was a young UN worker, which name was Muska. Just he wants to keep her honor. He prefers to kill herself, immolate herself. And also maybe you heard about a woman, a girl, a 13-year-old girl. Her name was Rahima, and she raped by groups of local warlords. And these are the examples that I am telling, that there is no woman rights in Afghanistan. And also why lots of women, and especially in the western provinces of Afghanistan, they commit suicide. They are burning themselves. I think it's a kind of sacrifice that in this situation the women of Afghanistan, they are doing, and also their children, they are kidnapping in this situation. For example, a few months ago in the Farah province, one child has been kidnapped, but after 4 days we found dead body of him. But another boy, which name was Ramin, he has been kidnapped, till now we don't know about him. It shows that there is no security and women rights in our country, even for some women, foreign workers, for example, even in Kabul. Maybe you heard about Clementina Cantoni and some other foreign workers, that when they are coming in Kabul, they want to help the people and they do not feel security there. So these are facts that we are telling, that there is no women rights in Afghanistan. And for example, I can tell about myself also, why my life has been completely changed. I said truth and I receive threats and threats more and more day by day. And it shows that they do not believe in democracy and women rights in Afghanistan.
And you are from one of the rural provinces outside of Kabul, isn't that right?
I'm from Farah. Farah is a western province of Afghanistan, near to Herat. I'm representative of Farah people.
Right. So, given the fact that you have clearly been in danger doing what you're doing, what is it that made you want to be a member of parliament? Why have you gotten into politics?
Yeah, I'm a social activist of OPAC, Organization of Promoting Afghan Women's Capabilities. And this is several years that I'm working with OPAC. Even when I finished schools, I moved from Pakistan refugees camps. Before, I was activist there in Pakistan in refugees camps, and I had close communication with my people there. But after, when I finished schools, I went under the domination of Taliban. I went to Herat, and I was there activist for 2 years. And I had, on behalf of OPAC, we had especially education activities underground. And then after 2 years, I went to Farah province, near to Herat. And there, for several years, there I was as a social activist, and we had education activities and also health activities. For example, in Herat, in Farah, we have a clinic which name is Hamun Clinic Center, and also we had an orphanage, but it is about 1 year that because of lack of money we closed. And also we have literacy courses, computer courses for young generation, and also we have as much as that we can. We sometimes distribute some materials for poor people in the different provinces, different villages in Farah province. And because of this close communication, that people afar, they know about me, and when I was an elected member for a candidate for Løgjerga, they voted me, and I went there on 2 years ago on behalf of them in Løgjerga National Council. And there, when I saw that those people that they destroyed our countries and that situation of Løgjerga, day by day become non-democratic. This was the reason that I stand up and I try my best to have speech there, and only they gave me 1 minute and few seconds, and I had a speech against them, and I exposed them, these warlords. After that, my life has been completely changed, and I returned after Løgjerga back to my country, to my province, to Farah province. And lots of people, they supported me, not only from Farah, around Afghanistan, because, you know, most of people of Afghanistan, they are suffering people. And they saw lots of crimes that these warlords, that they did, and now, unfortunately, once again, they are in power. And I received lots of threats to this. Even 4 times they wanted to kill me. They like assassination against me. And once they attacked on my office and my house. And because most of people there in Farah, they were with me and they supported me. And it was not very easy for them to kill me. But when I became, lots of people, they came to my office about this 2 years, like the house of the very poor and innocent people of Farah, women and men. And they are coming and they told me that you should be as candidate on behalf of us. And I thought with myself in one hand that it will be better to be even in the parliament, because I was sure that under the domination of the gun, how we can be hopeful that we will have democratic election. But I decided it will be better to be there in the parliament. In one hand, as an activist woman, I try my best to do something for my people, especially for women, and also have my role. But in another hand, I thought with myself it will be better that because lots of warlords, they will found way, and they found way. Now majority seats of the parliament has been taken by different types of warlords, unfortunately. And they found way by foreign supports, by using lots of money, they have lots of guns, and they did lots of cheating. And now they found way in the parliament. And I saw it will be better to expose them even in the parliament, if I saw that they want to build in some laws will be against freedom, against democracy, against women rights, and like this. So and you saw and you heard maybe that when I had when I want to have speech there, to talk there in the parliament, they do not let me, because around of me, unfortunately, most of them, they are those people that they are against each other, but because I expose all of them, they are against me. And they threaten me to death after my speeches, after my interviews. But on another hand, I receive lots of supports from my innocent people, from different ethnics, from different provinces. And it gives me hopes, courage, and everything. And the bad situation of our country, you know, we are war generation. And we saw nothing in our life. I was only 4 days baby that Russian attacked our country. So we saw nothing. When we are reading the history of our country, all of the war suffering, when we are looking, when we are listening, when we are searching, looking TV and reading news, everything is bad, and we can't really recognize as educated and light-minded generation who is the enemies of our country and who are the friends. Because of this, I continue to struggle. Now even the children of Afghanistan, they can do politics, and they know very well about the situation of their country.
I was in Afghanistan in May 2004, and one of the things that I heard while I was there was that opium production had tripled just in the past few years. Do you know, is that true, and is it something that, you know, is affecting the government there?
Unfortunately, under the domination, even domination of the U.S. troops in Afghanistan and some foreign countries' troops there, And after the domination of Taliban, unfortunately, year by year, maybe you hear through media that the trade and the planting of opium increasing there in Afghanistan. You should think that the government of Afghanistan, they are telling to the poor farmer of Afghanistan that you should not plant opium, please stop opium. It's a good idea, but in another hand, you should see that the governor of these provinces, of the same provinces, they are drug lords. They are those people that they have links with even maybe you with warlords. Maybe you hear that New York Times once wrote that, and also some other magazines like Financial Times, that some ministers, even some governor of Afghanistan, some of them, even some of them, they are close to Mr. Karzai, and they have high positions in Afghanistan, and they are drug dealers. Means they are drug dealers there in Afghanistan. And and also maybe you hear that the Interior Minister of Afghanistan, Mr. Jalali, several times he said that we know who has links with drug dealers, even some ministers, some high positions, but that they are doing drug trades and like this. But unfortunately, never he tell the names. Till he was in power and he was Interior Minister, the list was in his pocket, and he never said. And we don't know what is the reason that they do not want to expose them, and they do not want to make them powerless. Tell these warlords and those local warlords that they are drug lords people. Till they are in power, we never can stop the planting of opium. And another hand, I want to tell you about I saw with my eyes that some farmers, they came to my office. And they told that some soldiers from government, they came to destroy the planting of opium, their plants. But they said, when you are destroying our planting, you should pay something for us, some money for us, because we are poor. Even they are selling their daughters because as debt traffickers, and because they do not have money, the farmers there in Afghanistan. But they said that when these soldiers, they came to destroy our planting, we defend. We threw, and some farmers, they threw the stones that to the soldiers, but they shouted, and two of them, they has been killed there. And it's not easy for our people, and this is not the way of stopping of the opium. At first, they should make this disarmed and powerless, those people that they have links with drug dealers. They are drug dealers, and they have good positions even in government of Afghanistan, some of them, and also in the cabinet, in the parliament of Afghanistan. For example, when in parliament, I'm talking about the drug dealers, they want to stop me. They do not let me to continue, and it shows that there is no change.
Can you talk a little bit about what the state of the healthcare system in Afghanistan is, hospitals and so on? What?
In this situation, our people, they really need to more help of health services and not education. They need to both of them. But you should think that after the domination of Taliban, it's about $12 billion the foreign community, the international countries, they helped for rebuilding of Afghanistan and this. But unfortunately, there is no fundamental change. For example, Dr. Ramazan Bashar Dost, one of the MP of Afghanistan, famous MP right now, and he also said that if $1 billion of these dollars, if used for rebuilding of Afghanistan, the future of Afghanistan could change. but they do not use, and most of them some corrupt NGOs and also some this kind of corrupt government that we have, those people that most of them they are around Mr. Karzai, they are not honest people for the people of Afghanistan, and they're just they are like thieves, and they are putting money in their pockets, and they do not use for the building of our country, for making some schools and for example for clinics and like this. Even in this situation in faraway provinces, these warlords and Taliban and these people that they are against education, they are banning the schools and warning the girls to do not go to schools. And once again, unfortunately, in London conference, and this recently, they decided to give $10 billion about most of them. Most of these monies they want to give to this kind of corrupt government. I think that they should change the policy, especially U.S. and U.S. allies. That with these kind of warlords, we cannot bring fundamental change in the life of the people. For example, few kilometers away from the palace presidential, from the Dai, because of the cold weather, some people they die. About one month ago, before I moved from Kabul, some children, because of cold weather, they die, even in Kabul.
What are your hopes for Afghanistan?
My hopes is not the personal hopes. Of course, my hope is the hopes of our innocent people, men and women in Afghanistan. Those people, they have nothing, just they have hopes. No, they do not have guns and power in Afghanistan. And they wish that they will have one day democratic government in Afghanistan. Mr. Karzai should stop the compromise with these warlords. And the main message of our people is this, that please do not forget the people of Afghanistan. In this situation, they really need to you. And also you should force the U.S. government, as a freedom-loving people of U.S., that please stop the support of warlords in Afghanistan, especially Northern Alliance.